So let's get started. This is the second week of a plan 3 on Minhag HaMedina. We started out last time by looking at the Gemara in the beginning of Perek Zayin, the opening Mishnah, which spoke of the power of communal practices, specifically when it comes to employment hours, as well as feeding employees. And we said that if you hire the workers and you tell them to come early or stay late, then that's unusual. You're not able to coerce. We go with local minhag. The Gemara then asks, Pshita, that's obvious. Of course you can't compel people to stay late for work. Who are you kidding? The answer was, even if he pays more. Nonetheless, he's not able to say, I had those hours in mind. They can say, we understood it was for better work. And as we discussed last time, this was a case of stam, in which when he hired them, he did not say he intended them to work late hours, he simply paid them extra. We had that alternative possibility, but no one takes that seriously. The answer was that it was where he hired them, stam. And then Reish Lakish said, Paul b'chnisaso shmishalo b'tziyaso mishal bal habayis. He said something that we need to revisit today in order to understand what in the world he was talking about. But we also launched into the Yerushalmi, and I felt like I made things more confusing than they needed to be when I presented the Yerushalmi last time, and so I want to try to do tshuva by beginning with the discussion of that line in the Yerushalmi, because it's a really important line, and one that should not be mangled. So I wanted to first take us through that Yerushalmi, and then look at Reish Lakish. And what it was that Reish Lakish was trying to say. So that's basically where we're gonna be with this, I think, for the bulk of the day. If we get a chance, we'll also begin the question of, so why is Minhag so strong? For which there are 5 different shitos that I want to walk through, but we're definitely not doing all 5 today. That's for sure. Okay, so the Yerushalmi, I brought you the Yerushalmi again at the top of this source sheet. It began with Rav Hoshaya commenting on our Mishnah, saying, Zos omeres haminog mevatels ha'alocha. We see from here that minog overrides halacha, and then Rabbi Imi goes on to say, normally the rule is, hamotzi mechaveru alav araya, you want to get someone's money, you have to prove that you have a right to it, except in this case. And the except in this case means that instead of needing to bring proof, it's sufficient to say, the minhag ha'ir supports me. Local custom supports me, and therefore I don't need to prove my point. So in other words, in the event that you were hired for a job, and the employer says, I wanted you to do X, and you're not interested in doing X. You say, I don't need to do X, I can do half X. And look, the minhag supports me. You don't need to prove that that was the original arrangement, that you would do half X. The minhag already takes care of that. That qualifies, so to speak, as yiraya or in lieu of araya. And what I needed to revisit here was the opening line of Rav Hoshaya when he says haminhag mevatel es ha-halacha. What halacha is minhag overriding? And where is he getting that from? What I want to show you are 3 different approaches. Last time I had 2. They've multiplied. Now we have 3. So the first approach is something we said last time, but last time I didn't realize that the Ridbaz actually supported me on it. That's very nice. I'm grateful to the Ridbaz. And the way that the Ridbaz formulates it, which I brought you in source base, is that minhag overrides not halacha, but minhag overrides the assumptions that the boss made, which by default would have been halacha, so to speak. If you take a look at source base, you'll see what I mean. Amar Rav Hoshaya, Zos omeres minhag mevatels ha-halacha. Av agav ditafi lehu balabayis alagrayu. Minhag overrides halacha, even though the boss paid more. Look at what I bolded. Vahaya al pi hadin, that's halacha. Vahaya al pi hadin makom lemeimar dal daita dahachi tafilu agrayu. There would have been room to say that that's what the boss had in mind when he added to their wages. Mikomakom haminag mevatel halacha, but minag overrides. In other words, when Rav Hoshaya says minag mevatel halacha, what he means is minag overrides the boss's assumptions, which would have had the force of halacha. That's the first possible take. Moshe isn't here, but he had asked about that first read last time, saying, then why does he use the phrase, it overrides halacha? He doesn't mean it overrides halacha. It overrides the assumptions that you're making. But I think what the Ridbaz is saying answers that question. The boss's assumptions are halacha. That's the answer. But that's one view. The second view of what halacha here is, that minhag is overriding, is Rabbeinu Yehonasan. And this, Rav Alex and Natanel and I had discussed what exactly Rabbeinu Yehonasan was doing. Rabbeinu Yehonasan was addressing this question. Take a look at source Gimel. This is Rabbeinu Yehonasan brought in the Shidim Mekubetzes on Daf Pei Zayin. He says, Yesh lefarish zeh Yerushalmi amishnasenu shomeres makom shenagu shlola hashkim shlola harev. He says, you could explain this Yerushalmi on our Mishnah, such that when it says, where the practice is not to get up early, not to stay late, klomar she'ein yotzin ha'poalim lemalachton el. You know what? Let me do it the other way around. I was going to do it one way, but I'm going to flip it. We've already seen our Gemara with Reish Lakish, so we know. Reish Lakish said there is a pasuk in Tehillim which tells us that the animals are around at night. Then in the morning they go back to their lair, and then yetzei adam lefalo. At that point, the person goes out to his work, and then he works adei arev. We'll have to talk about adei arev. I don't want to translate adei arev yet. But the pasuk in Tehillim Kuf Dalet, Tehillim 104, says that the animals are out at night. At the end of the night, they go home, and at that point, the worker comes out to work. So Rabbeinu Yehonasan says that's really interesting. Because our Mishnah spoke about the possibility that there is a local custom of staying late and going early, and there's a possibility of a local custom that says, no, we're actually not staying late, and no, we're not actually going early. We've decided that's not the way we're gonna work for you. So he quotes that, and he says that's what the Yerushalmi is talking about with Minhag Mevatel es HaHalacha. He says, you could explain that line in the Yerushalmi, that minhag overrides halacha, as applying to the Mishnah, when the Mishnah says they might choose not to keep long hours. Klomar, she'ein yotzin apolom lachton el arachar chati shol azichas ha-shemesh. The workers wait until half an hour after sunrise, and then they go to work. V'shiyotzin mimalachton kodim sha'achas l'shkiyaz achama, and they knock off an hour before sunset. Right? Maybe they live in Toronto, where sunset is 9:04. But they decide we're gonna leave work an hour before sunset. So Osin, they're able to do that. Even though the worker outlined in the Torah is supposed to be sunrise to sunset, meaning the pasuk in Tehillim gave me longer hours, they can have a minhag that is not so. The minhag mevatel halacha. So according to Rabbeinu Yehonasan's read, the halacha which is being overridden by minhag, what halacha is it that minhag overrides, is the pasuk in Tehillim. That's his point. He says, when our Mishnah says that people can have a practice of not staying late, of not showing up at sunrise, that tells me that minhag is able to override halacha, meaning the pasuk. You follow? Everyone with me? Everyone's very muted. Yes, Ezra gives me a thumbs up. Sammy gives me a thumbs up. Okay, Rabbi Yaris. Okay. I'm seeing encouraging signs. So, our first approach was to say minhag overrides halacha, meaning minhag overrides the employer's assumptions, which should have had the force of halacha. The second view is minhag overrides halacha means minhag overrides that pasuk, as seen by our Mishnah saying they can choose not to go early, not to stay late. And then you have the Pnei Moshe, which we said last week. I'm not going to spend much time on him because the Pnei Moshe is relatively straightforward. It's also the view that Rabbeinu Yehonasan brought first in the Shita Mekubetzes. I didn't bring it here in Source Gimel, but that was his first view. And that was to say that what minhag overrides is the halacha of amotzi mechaveru alav haraya, as Rav Imi goes on to say. That the idea that if you want to get paid by somebody, you're going to have to prove you have a right to it, the minhag can take the place of that proof, as we said when we started on this Yerushalmi 10 minutes ago. So, those are the three different views here in the Yerushalmi for what we mean when we say minhag mevatel halacha. Minhag supplants the need for evidence. That was the Pnei Moshe. I'm working my way backward now. Or, alternatively, minhag is able to override the pasuk that gives me default hours, even though the Torah gives me default terms for labor, nonetheless, minhag is able to override that. I presume not only the pasuk that we have in Tehillim, but in general, the Torah's terms for labor. And the first view that we had proposed, which is that minhag is able to override the assumptions that the Baal HaBayis made walking in. Okay, so that's just in terms of revisiting the Yerushalmi. But what in the world happened with Reish Lakish? Why did Reish Lakish, you know, do what he did? What was this all about? So, what Reish Lakish is trying to do here is to say something about Tehillim setting the default hours for a laborer. It has something to do with when the workers start work and when the workers finish work. That I know as well. But he's still hard to read. Take a look, please, at source Hey, where I brought you, again, the Gemara in Bava Metzia. I'm not walking us through the entire thing. I did that in the beginning of the shiur today as an outside thing, but I want to look at Reish Lakish here. After the Gemara said in source Hey, Pshita, isn't that obvious, which we assumed meant, isn't it obvious the boss cannot compel them to veer from the minhag? And his answer was, well, I added to their wages, and they say, well, that's nice that you added to the wages, but that wasn't what we thought you meant when you added to the wages. We talked about that last time, Dam and Modian, and can you mind read based on the amount that he paid? Amar Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish says, Poel bechnisaso mishalo, bitziaso mishal Baal HaBayis. He says, when the worker enters could mean anything, right? That's one problem. I don't know, enters, does that mean when he goes to work or when he goes home? I don't know. When he enters, it is his. When he leaves, it is of the boss. So as I noted in source Vav, where I try to collect the problems with understanding Reish Lakish, I don't know what when he enters means. I don't know what when he leaves means. I don't know what he means when he says, Michel, it is of the Baal HaBayis, or it is of the worker. I don't actually know what that means either. We lost Mickey. Oh, all right. We'll soldier on. I don't know what any of those things mean. I don't know what Reish Lakish is talking about. And then he gives me the pasuk. Shnemar, the pasuk says, Tizrach Hashem Hashiyaseifun v'almonosam yirbatzun. He gives us this pasuk from Tehillim Kuf Dalet about the animals being out at night, and then when the sun rises, then they go home, and then the man goes to work and works until Adei Arev, and that's another one. Is Adei Arev the same thing as Ad Arev? Is it the same as Arev? Like, what is that? What does the word Adei mean? I don't really follow. So Reish Lakish is going to offer me multiple ways to. I'm going to see multiple ways to establish this. But basically, all the approaches we're going to see to Reish Lakish come down to two, which I brought you at the end of source above. Either the pasuk is telling me what basic hours of labor are, and they are the default until the minhag is different. Minhag mevata halacha. That's one way to take what he's doing with this. He's trying to show me, look at that, the Torah is telling you what hours of labor are supposed to be. Or, second approach is, the first half of the pasuk is telling me animals are out at night, and therefore nighttime is dangerous. And therefore we override the hours that are found in the second half of the pasuk. Okay, that's your other school of thought. Your first school of thought is, again, the pasuk is giving me default hours, and the second view is that no, the pasuk is showing me don't follow the default hours, that minhag can override default hours. So we're going to look at this and unpack these different views of what it is that Reish Lakish is doing. And I'm trying to organize it around what Reish Lakish wants to do, what Reish Lakish wants to accomplish with this pasuk. So first of all, the first view, Reish Lakish is saying we have default hours as expressed in the pasuk. The pasuk means the animals go home at sunrise, and at that point the workers go to work and they remain there Adei Arev. Now, look at the pasuk itself, please. Okay? In source Hay, where Reish Lakish brings it. Tizrach Hashem Hashiyaseifun v'almonosam yirbatzun yetzei adam lefa'ala v'lavod aso adei arev. Tell me something. If the pasuk is giving me the default hours of a person's labor, what's the first half of the pasuk doing there? How does that contribute to my understanding? Yes, Rav Sammy.
I mean, Yitzhar Hashem is part of it. It says Yitzhar Hashem is related to the Yitzhar Adam to follow. That's when he's the Yitzhar Adam to follow. When he's going to be a challenge.
Right. So,
both parts are relevant.
Right. But I could have just said, Tizrach Hashem should say Adam Lefa'alo.
You could have, but
not with this. No, I mean, David HaMelech is trying to do something different in this parak. David HaMelech is not writing employment law. David HaMelech is describing the world that Hashem created, and the sun, moon, and stars are also in there somewhere, and it happens to be that it also fits with by describing what a laborer is doing. But fundamentally, the first half and the second half are independent of each other. The first half of the sentence gives you the animal's hours, and the second half of the sentence gives you the human being's hours. In fact, the Marachash in the Taras Chaim says the reason to start working at night has nothing to do with the first half of the pasuk. Take a look at Sur Zion. Poel b'yitziyaso mishabal abayis. Okay, he is talking about b'yitziyaso and b'chnisa. I'm not going into this b'yitziyaso b'chnisaso, but he says taima demilsa nira kedei sheyikra kriyashma v'yispala tchila kodem sheyetze lemalachto. He says you want to know why your working day is supposed to start at sunrise, so you could daven beforehand. If your working day started earlier, you'd have a problem. So your working day starts at Nates. He has a nice little discussion there about Shema Shmona Esrei before Nates. I'm not going into that discussion right now. But he says that's why your working day starts at Nates. Someone said last week that maybe your working day ends at Nates, that you can learn Torah at night. Okay, that's fine as well. The Taras Chaim didn't say that. But what the Torah is doing is simply giving me default hours. This is the way your day should work. You daven, and then at sunrise you go to work. The fact that the Torah is setting up default hours is consistent with something that I said in a shiur way, way back in the beginning of Chorev Zman. When we talked about the Poel Eved difference, and I brought you from Rav Shechter, you can see it in Source Ches, from the Eretz HaTzvi, the idea that there is a biblical model for the employer-employee relationship. And that in context in Source Ches, he's not talking about our discussion. He's talking about the obligation of an employer to pay an employee, and suggests it's not only about his chayvus midas, the idea that I, as the employer, made an arrangement with somebody and promised that if he does the work, I'm going to pay him, and therefore I have a personal obligation to uphold my word. That's not the driver behind paying workers. Rather, there is a concept embedded in the Torah of Schiras Poalim. Somebody does work for you, you have to pay them at whatever the normal rate is. Effectively, paying your workers is a Bein Adam Lamakom. It's not only a Bein Adam Lachaveru, it's a Bein Adam Lamakom. It's between you and God to make sure that you pay those who do work for you. So I would connect that with the discussion here, and say not only is the duty to pay your workers a biblical obligation, and obviously it's a biblical obligation, but it's a concept that transcends your personal word, we're also getting default hours that are coming to us from the Torah. Go back, please, to the Gemara itself now that we saw in Source Hay, and see how this flows, how Reish Lakish will flow. Not his words itself. We still haven't explained Knisaso, Yitziyaso, and all that. We're going to come to that. But understanding that, Reish Lakish, when he makes this statement, is saying not a response to the immediate preceding piece about, hey, I paid them more. He's not talking about that. He's making a new statement, which is, the Torah gives me default hours. And then the next line in the Gemara, at the bullet point, the Gemara asks, well, why do you need default hours? What was the point of having default hours? Why do I need to tell me default hours? Just see what people's minhag is. To which their answer is, Be'ir Chadasha, because you could have a new city. You don't have an established minhag. So, new, to see where they came from? Yeah, but what if the boss, either they came from multiple places, or the boss said, I want to pay you like a Paul Del-Raisa, so therefore Tehillim is telling me what a Paul Del-Raisa is. Never mind that we're using the term Del-Raisa, I'm not getting caught up in that. But that's the flow of the Gemara within this read of Reish Lakish. He says, that's how it gives me default hours, and the Gemara's response is, why do you need them, and so on. Okay. There are three different approaches in the Rishonim, though, to this view of Reish Lakish. All of them, I believe, amount to the same practical result, which is you work from Nates, hey Nates, from sunrise, until Tzeis, until it is fully dark. Rashi, first of all, as well as, this is brought as the second view of the Rashba, in Source Tess, explaining the language of Reish Lakish. If you want a shortcut to this, just jump on your sheet to the table I put in after Source Yud Tes. If you're looking at it on your computer, or if you printed with a color printer, you have some nice colors to work with. I worked very hard on that. No, I didn't, but I worked a little bit. But the goal of the different colors on the table is to try to group together the different debates about Reish Lakish's wording. So you can see the top line on the table, if you want to just follow Rashi there. Rashi tells you, first of all, that Knisa So, right, I'm going to go back to the Rashi itself on the sheet in Source Test. B'Knisa So means Knisa So Le'ir, when you come home, when you leave work. In other words, it's counterintuitive. We think of Yitziah as leaving, but actually, leaving work is Knisa So. So in other words, when Reish Lakish says, B'Knisa So Mishalo, he is talking about when you leave work first. You leave work at night? That's Mishalo. What does Mishalo mean? Tzarech levater Mishalo etzla balabayis ulahachshich etzlo. You have to give up of your time to the balabayis and stay with him until dark. Meaning Rashi doesn't define the word choshech. He doesn't say tzeis, he doesn't say shkia. Tosfos is going to think that Rashi means tzeis, and I'm happy with that idea. But he doesn't actually say, he just says shetach shach, until dark. So Rashi says that what Reish Lakish is saying is, the worker, when he goes home, has to give of himself. Mishalo means he has to give of his own. Whereas, Beitziaso, when he goes to work in the morning, Mishal Balabayas, the boss is the one who has to give up of his time. That's the way to read Reish Lakish according to Rashi. And in the Pasuk, when it said Ade Arev, that meant until dark. That's Ade Arev, whatever it means, but it means until dark itself. So the result, as Rashi reads it, is the poet leaves for work at sunrise using the employer's time. This is considered working for the employer, an idea we're going to come back to later. When he goes home, though, it's after hours. So if I hire you, and I say to you, I want you to work for me, you have to agree that you're going to work for me from, I don't know, 8:30 a.m. to 4 p.m.? As it's currently understood, I can leave my house. Now, I am the boss. The employee is able to leave his house at 8:30, show up at work whenever he gets there, and leave at 4. Fortunately, that's not Minhag HaKolel, but theoretically, that would have been what could have been done. That's the way Rashi reads Reish Lakish. You are on the clock from the time you leave your house, but you can't use the clock time when it comes to leaving work at the end of the day. The Maharal also thinks that Rashi's dark, tachshach, means tzeis. Okay. Tosfos is almost the same as Rashi. He's the same in terms of explanation of Knisa So and Yitzia So. The only difference between Tosfos and Rashi in terms of explaining Reish Lakish is that he insists Mishel doesn't mean who is giving up the time, it is identifying the owner of that time. But really, there's no substantive difference that I can see between the two. And he ends up saying, you leave for work at sunrise, using the employer's time, and you head for home at dark, using your own time. That's the idea. What Tosfos does, hang on one second, Rosani. What Tosfos does that Rashi did not do is he tries to show support for his position. So if you take a look at source Yud, at the bullet points specifically, the first two bullet points are Gemara's that he says supports him. One is Yumachavches Amud Beis, which is talking about when you're going to start doing the avoda, but it says Heyer Kol Hamizrach, the sun, the entire east is lit up. The Yatsu Kol Am Liskor Paolim, and everybody went out to hire workers. So he says that shows that Nates is when you go out to hire your workers. Hayloyu Nichnasim Lamlachad Nates, they didn't go to work until Nates, until sunrise. That's number one. And number two, he brings you from Psachim, where we're told, Aser lasas malacha mehanetz ba'arvei Psachim. They say you're not allowed to do malacha starting at sunrise on Erev Pesach. So he says, why from sunrise specifically? Because that's when workers would normally start working. So that proves that the beginning of the working day is sunrise. And then he goes on to say, and don't be bothered by Ezra when they're working on the Beis HaMikdash, and there they work longer hours. That's unique to the Beis HaMikdash. Don't get hung up on that. And don't get hung up by the fact that he's talking about when you leave work first. Right? That some people have that mentality. They focus only on when they're going to leave work. They go to the job interview and they ask, when can I knock off? So that's what Reish Lakish was doing. He put in the time when you're leaving work first. He says, don't get worried about that. And he gives you examples of that type of language in the Gemara. And he goes through the language of Hachnasa and Hotza'a as well. In the last couple of bullet points there. The first one, he brings you rayas, he brings you proof from the Gemara in Erechin and the Gemara in Shavuos, and then he brings you from a Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah. We already mentioned this Medrash last week, so I want to make sure just to go through this Medrash, and then Rosami, I know you've been waiting very politely, very Canadian of you. The last bullet point here. He says, "Upirish zemashma b'Bereishis Rabbah." This explanation of Kenisa and Yitzia is indicated in Bereishis Rabbah as well. Va'afil lashon hachnasa mefarishasam Kenisa lebeso. They use the term hachnasa there to mean going home. Va'achi isahas and parishas vayetze, and so is seen in parishas vayetze. What is this medrash in Bereishis Rabbah that he's talking about? Va'yavo Yaakov min hasadeh ba'erev. Yaakov came back from the fields in the evening, and Tanina Taman, the bride. This is the Medrash in Bereishis Rabbah. It says, we learned in a Mishnah, our Mishnah, Hasochas Apolim, Pasikim, Lahashkim, Laharv, etc. Am Rabbi Mana, Bimakum, She'ein, Minog, where there is no Minog. Tnai Beizdin, Hu, Shedeyotza, Mishal Balabayas, Machnasa, Mishal Polim. I bolded Tnai Beizdin, but it's not relevant for us right now. Rabbi Mana says, where there is no Minog, there is a condition of the Beizdin that, as Reish Lakish says to us, Hotza is from the Balabayas, Hachnasa is from the Polim. Hotza is from the Balabayas. How do I know that? The pasuk in Tehillim Tizrach Hashem Sheyaseifun, etc. Hachnasam Bishlapo Minayin. ... And what he's saying is what Tosfos is trying to do here is to say Hotza is linked with going to work, and Hachnasa is going home, and therefore Knisaso is Leir, and Yitziaso is going to work. That's Tosfos' position. Rav Sami, thank you for waiting. Yes.
I think Tosfos does point out that Rashi is the language of.
Yes, correct. That's the only thing that he says. There's no practical application to it, but that's what I had in my notes, literally my next line. I should have gone a little further before allowing you. He doesn't like Rashi's approach, it's not Vitor, but the Psak is the same.
Right. My only point, could it be then that that might be part of the Shkia versus the taste difference?
You think that Rashi really believes Shkia?
No, meaning maybe that's why it's Vitor. That's why, that might be why it's Vitor. So maybe what he means is that really the time after Shkia should be his. He has to be a Vater and wait till 6.
Oh, but I didn't think that was what Rashi meant. Rashi was saying. I thought Rashi was simply saying, you have to be mevater that you can't be home by tzeis, but instead you're going to have to stay after tzeis, and then you're going to walk home when it's on your time. I thought the levater mishalo would be afterwards.
The question of why is that? It's not really your time, right? According to Tosfos, you have to stay until tzeis. That's just the letter of the law. You have to work until tzeis. I'm just suggesting maybe the reason for that is because Rashi thinks, no, really, you should have to stay. I don't know.
Could be. The Or Zeruah makes the point that I've referenced a couple of times, but I had not yet said explicitly. Take a look at source Yud Aleph. We've already seen that Rashi and Tosfos are of the view that you go to work on the boss's time. He hires you to start at 8:30, you can leave your house at 8:30. So I already said a couple of times, that's because going to work is part of work. So that's actually the Or Zeruah. If you take a look at source Yud Aleph, you don't have to go early in order to be able to start the actual work at Hinetzachama. The Taima Rabba Ika. He says there's a good reason for that. I bolded it. Balabayas, when you leave your house to go to work, that is malacha of the balabayas. Da da da. So that's where you get the statement explicitly. So that's Rashi, that's Tosfos. The Rashba's first approach to our Gemara, and it's also in the Meiri, is also Nates Tetzeis. But and the outcome is the same as what we've seen so far. However, there is a little bit of variation. First of all, there's variation because he takes Kenisa to mean going to work and Yitzia to mean going home. So that's a key difference. But also that he words the Gemara as an if. It's an if Gemara. What does that mean? Take a look at the Meiri in source Yud Beis. Me'ata, poel shahishkim, if a worker gets up early, then mevater hu mishalo. Then he is giving of his own time. The boss had no right to claim it from him, but he's giving of his own time. Uchshamariv, and when he stays late, meaning if he chooses to, Einkan vitur, that's not vitur. Elamin adin kenu, that's kahu. That's what's supposed to happen. So the only difference of substance between the Rashba / Meiri approach here and what Rashi and Tosfos has said, well, first of all, difference of language. Knisa Yitzia are reversed in their read, as I've noted in the table, and then, or I hope I noted in the table. Yes. And then the other difference is that they're making it an if. If you go early, you are giving of your own time. Because they're saying that Mishalo is talking about going to work, is about leaving work. Mishalo is talking about going to work. Correct. Okay.
Isn't it just what the word Mishalo means, according to most sheets? Mishalo either means you're giving from yours, or you're taking from yours. I don't know if it's about an if or a non-if.
So that's Rashi versus Tosfos. That's Rashi versus Tosfos. But what the Rashba is doing, and what the Meiri is doing here, is saying that the whole line is talking about if you go to work early. In other words, Rashi and Tosfos took it as when you keep the regular hours, either this is your time or you are giving of your time. Whereas the Rashba is saying, no, it's not about you go early. It's your time. That's the difference.
An application of that. So if the person's hours are 9 to 5, and he has a half-hour commute, so if he leaves at 8:30, then he gets to leave at 4:30, or he's allowed to leave at 9 to get there at 9:30.
So there is no bargaining within this school of thought. We will see a bargain in Rabbeinu Hananel, but we're not there yet. No, within this school of thought, you can leave your house at 9 in order to get to work when you get to work. You are hired from 9, that means you can leave your house at 9. And if you choose to leave your house at 8:30, that's nice, but no one's rewarding you at the end of the day.
Oh, so it's better for the employer these days if
you
work from home.
Ah, there you go. A COVID connection. Thank you. So this is all first school of thought. That all the Pasuk is doing is saying, here are the default hours. And honestly, the first view works much better than the second one in terms of the flow of the Gemara. You know, Reish Lakish said, here are default hours, and the Gemara said, who needs default hours? Okay. The second view is that Reish Lakish is saying that the Pasuk declares that you are allowed to deviate from default hours. The animals are a threat all night, and therefore we don't follow the hours that are set in the Pasuk. Effectively, the first half of the sentence is rewriting the second half of the sentence. The second half of the sentence said, you go to work in the morning and you stay till evening. And the first half of the sentence says, yeah, but there's danger from animals, and therefore you don't necessarily have to stick to that. And then the Gemara's response to Reish Lakish is less organic. The Gemara's response to Reish Lakish is, well, why are you setting any hours anyway? Just see what the local practice is. It can be done. Rabbeinu Hananel knew how to read the Gemara. But I have to say, the first read is much smoother. But Rabbeinu Hananel, who is brought, he's quoted in Tosfos, gives you this second shita. If you take a look at source Yud Gimel, Rabbeinu Hananel Pirish, and it's also found in the Ritva. He says, Rabbeinu Hananel Pirish, b'chnisa so l'malachto. First of all, k'nisa, as far as he is concerned, like the Rashba, like that view in the Meiri, k'nisa means going to work, not leaving work. He says, "B'chnisa solem lachto nosin mishalol balabayis u'memar latzeis kodem hanetz shehu zmano latzeis v'yotzei me'alos hashachar." He says, "You go to work early on your own time, leaving your house at alos hashachar in order to arrive and start working by netz." V'lachin b'yitziyaso mimalachto, and therefore, when you leave work, Misha Balabayas, you can use the boss's time. Sheyotse Kodem Tseisakochavim Shagilabeso at Tseisakochavim. You leave work before Tseis, and you get home by Tseis. So this is the bargain you were asking about, Jeffrey. If I am supposed to start work at 9, but I leave my house at 8:30, can I claim credit at the end of the day? Rabbeinu Hananel says that's exactly what you do. Ukomash Malan Reish Lakish. Continuing in Tosfos, Reish Lakish is teaching us Sheshinu ha'olam minhaga midin ha'pasuk shemevi, that we don't follow the pasuk itself and the default hours that are there. Why? Lekayim ha'da'amar la'olam yikaneis adam b'chitov. Right? The Gemara in Pesachim says that you're supposed to always come back home before the light is gone, while you're still in Kitov, this period of daylight. Shekein mashma b'Bereishis Rabbah. That's the implication of Bereishis Rabbah. I'm going to come back to that in a moment, but I just want to make sure that we're being clear. The second half of the pasuk says the employer has the right to your time from sunrise until the stars come out, but we deviate in practice, shifting our hours earlier. Think of it as workers' daylight saving time or something, in order to satisfy Kitov, as seen in the first half of the pasuk. What does this have to do with Bereishis Rabbah at all? So the Maharal says that's what I bolded for you. The idea that it's Tanai based in. He says, if you take a look at Source Yadalit, because of Reinu Hananel, Shekach Mashma v'Bereishis Rabbah. Tosfos didn't like that at all. Tosfos said Bereishis Rabbah doesn't prove your point. However, the Maharal says, yeah, it does. Kasev Reinu Hananel, Shekach Mashma v'Bereishis Rabbah v'Yeirah. Masha Kasev, Shekach Mashma v'Bereishis Rabbah, Hainu Dika Omar Tanai based in. What's supporting him in Bereishis Rabbah is the fact that Bereishis Rabbah says that workers' hours are a function of based in making a condition that this is what they're going to do. Umashmash kachasu, veloshia kein midin akasuv. It's not because of the pasuk. Raksha kachasu based in. That's the idea. The Ritva brings support for this idea in Source Tesvav. He quotes you the Medrash Tehillim that says, vela avodaso ade arev. Mikan amru chachamim shetehe yitzia shabalabayis haknizah shabpoel v'tzarech hapoel shetizrach lo hashamesh besadeh lemalachto v'shebalabayis mashkia has hapoel be'ir. He says, you see it in the Medrash in Tehillim that at shkia, you are already home. You're already going to be home early. You're not waiting until Tzeis. The Ritva also says that it's supported by the Yerushalmi. I think he must also mean that it's the Yerushalmi saying it's Tanai based in. I think that's what the Ritva means there. Tosfos says, I don't know what Rabbeinu Hananel is talking about. He says, first of all, the language in Bereishis Rabba of Knesset Yetziah supports me. That's number one. And number two, he says, if you're telling me that Reish Lakish is saying to stop early, then why is the Gemara's response to Reish Lakish, let's see what people do? What does that have to do with anything? He says the flow of the Gemara doesn't work right. So he does not like this approach. The other one who has this approach is the Hava Mina that we saw last week in the Merome Sadeh, which I reproduced in Source Tezayin, but I don't want to belabor this. I feel like it's a lot to throw on people to ask you to go through this whole Hava Mina that we end up rejecting anyway because we don't like its conclusions. But what he does here, just to refresh the memory of what we said last week, is he says what Reish Lakish is saying is that a worker gives of his own time when going home from work, meaning you go home on your own time, and you use the boss's time when you are going to work. So he ends up saying, Nates 2, sunrise 2, Shkia. Why? Because of the danger mentioned in the Pasuk, and he claims, this is the Chiddush, that Ade Arev means Shkia. It means close to Tzeis. It doesn't mean at Tzeis, unlike everybody else. Because there's danger, it's a little bit different from the view of Rabbeinu Hananel, but again, I don't want to get bogged down too much in this. I do want to show you, though, the support for this idea in the Maharal. The Maharal, first of all, says, you've learned the Gemara at the beginning of Brachos that says that the Ani is eating bread at home at Shkia, at sunset. So that means that he had to get home beforehand. But he also shows you, he also argues, if you take a look at Source Yedayin, he says, V'im haya kapirish Rashi zal, if we were really following Rashi's view, that you start late and end late, davar zeh chidush gadol, shemaskel b'malacha, achar enetacham, avos b'malacha, tzeis hakochavim. He said, that's a real chidush, to say that I can leave my house at 9, and get there and start working at 9:30, assuming 9 is Nates, right? So I can leave my house at Nates and start my work afterwards and then work until Tzeis HaKochavim. He says, that's a Chiddush. Davetza Hayela Ashmi'inan. That would have needed something explicit. That's not the implication of Paul Bechnisasa Mishalob Bitzias Mishalabayas. He says, Reish Lakish should have been a lot more explicit if that was what he meant. He evidently does not accept the Or Zeruah's idea that going to work is considered work already. The Maharal does not agree with that idea. Okay. So the upshot of this is that, again, we have these two basic overarching views of what Reish Lakish is trying to accomplish. Either saying Tehillim gives me default hours that I work with until the minhag changes them, or it's telling me no, that minhag is already changing the hours that are presented in the pasuk. That's the idea. And the Yerushalmi can be read as supporting either one. On the one hand, the Yerushalmi says, and I brought you the Mara Panim who points this out, it seems to be supporting the hours of Neith to Tzeis. On the other hand, it says Tanai Bastin. So you could potentially read it as supporting the second view as well. Okay. All of that is Reish Lakish. But now let's get to the question. You can see the table again on the sheet, and hopefully that helps contribute to our understanding of what's going on here. But that brings me to the question of why Minhag has this authority at all. What is the basis for Minhag having authority? I'm going to ask the question to you, because you guys have been really, really quiet for most of the day here. And that's not fair. So why should Minhag have the authority to override anything? I have a pasuk in Tehillim. It gave me default hours. Follow your hours. What's this business of, no, we don't want to do that. Why does that work? So one way to read it, as Rabbi Yarris says, is that this is what we assume people mean when they enter into an engagement. When you hire somebody, the assumption is that he and you are agreeing to follow whatever the local practice is. That's one way to take it. What else?
Maybe chazal enacted it in some way.
How? What does that mean? So, Ezer says, maybe it's... I'm getting a message, my internet connection is unstable. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So a way to do it would be to argue Hefker Beis Din. Now, I'm going to assume that what Ezer means is a Hefker Beis Din writ large, meaning not that every single practice in every single community has undergone a takana, but rather that Chazal said, Tanai Beis Din, at some point we just had a declaration, there was a convocation of sages, and they said, we now follow Minhagim. Is that what you're suggesting?
Yes.
Okay. So that indeed is a possible way to read it. We're going to see a whole bunch of other ways that you can approach this, and they're not mutually exclusive. Yes, or Sammy?
I would just say that based on the three explanations of what it means in our Mishnah, I don't find it that novel. Meaning, not that, I mean, I think it's even more than Rishar says, okay, that's all. But it's not that Minhag is really overriding anything that, it's not like it's not explicitly against anything. It's not like, it's okay, suggested hours in the Torah, okay, maybe, but like, it's not like the Torah says, thou shalt get up for work at a certain time. The other two, it is the Raya, or it supersedes what we might have thought the boss said. None of these are particularly mind-blowing.
Correct.
At this point, I'm not, very impressed by,
Right. No, effectively, you know what this feels like? This feels like Brachos Yudhes, right? With Kavod Abrios. Where first the Gemara says, Gadol Kavod Abrios Shadocha Losase Shabbatorah. Human dignity is so important it overrides a biblical Losase. And then, well, actually what we meant was it overrides Losaser, it overrides the Rabbanans. We're walking it back. So Rustami is correct, and that's the benefit of having gone through the Yerushalmi in the beginning today. It depends on which of the three approaches we take to Minhag Mevatel Halacha. Two out of the three I would agree with you on. Rabbeinu Yohanan, I would not agree with you on. Meaning, the first approach, the Ridbaz's approach is, Minhag Mevatel Halacha just means that the Minhag is stronger than the assumptions the Balabayis made walking in. The third approach that we brought, the Pnei Moshe's approach, is that the Minhag replaces the need for a Raya. In neither case is that terribly novel and earth-shattering. It doesn't mean, let's take an actual case that's not a case of hours and food, okay? I am going to guard, Natanel says, I think I need to go to Hamilton for the day, let's say. He was in Toronto, he says, I need to go to Hamilton for the day. Do me a favor, please. I need to leave my car here in the lot, I'm going to go take the bus, watch my car. And I say to him, well, you know what? I'm willing to watch your car, but I want to be indemnified from any liability. Not me personally, because that doesn't help with the Minhag thing. The practice locally, you should be aware, is that people who guard things for free are exempt from any liability whatsoever. A lightning bolt can hit the car, God forbid. And it's not my problem. I don't know why I gave the lightning bolt example. That's like the worst possible example. Sorry. I took the car out for a spin as I was allowed to do, and then I left the windows down and it rained. And I am not responsible at all, because the minhag here is that the Shomer Chinam is not responsible for anything. That's the case that we're talking about. So that's local minhag. Too bad and how that you you didn't know. That's going to work, okay? Minhag is going to override halacha. That's not true if I take the Ridbaz's approach. That's not true. I mean, it is true, but it's not earth-shattering that your assumptions are overridden. What's earth-shattering is that it overrides the Torah's specification for what a shomer can do or can't do. The Ridbaz didn't say that. The Pnei Moshe didn't say that. The only one who says that is Rabbeinu Yohanan. Rabbeinu Yohanan says, the Torah gave me certain rules for workers, Minhag overrides those rules. And by extension, the Torah gives me rules for Shomrim, and Minog will override the rules for the Shomrim. And that is the bombshell. Rabbi Yehonasan is the bombshell.
Right. I mean, do you think it's so clear you can make that extension to Shomrim?
Well, everybody does. I mean, we're going to talk about next week the question of just how far we can extend it and in which cases we can extend it, but everybody does. So yes, Rabbeinu Yehonasan is what makes this thing interesting. So, the first approach that we'll see is the approach that Ezer anticipated. If you look at your sheet, Lama yesh v'minog yom leyesh kach v'minog l'kboat cpiot ulevatel halacha. Aleph, Hefger Beis Din. Hefger Beis Din is your first basis for it. Honestly, that seems to be the implication of the Yerushalmi when it said, T'nai Beis Din. T'nai Beis Din meaning, they said, we are promoting Minhagim. When did that happen? I have no idea. But at some point, they got together and said, Minhag rules. The Ma'arik brings this. He has a discussion about a Minhag on Shabbos Bereishis. It is not a minhag of Mamonos, it's a different sort of minhag, but everybody seems to be willing to blur the lines between different areas of halacha in this regard. Take a look at source Kaf. He says, Asher inhiku aloazim b'chom b'komos moshe voseyem. The practice of whoever the loazim are, I don't know, but wherever they live, their practice is Shabbos Shabbos Bereishis. On Shabbos Bereishis, Echav and Akom is Nadev Mos Letzarech Mor Beis Hakneses Kadesh Sheyikra Rishon Batchalas HaTorah. A guy buys the Aliyah, the opening Aliyah of Bereishis, donating for all of the lights in Shul for the year. Or I don't know if it's for the year. V'gamno agushim yeshem kohen shu kona osa mitzvah o mochal al kavodo itzei besa knesses. And if there's a kohen present, so either he has to pony up money or get out of shul so that they can do the aliyah. V'ata ira, and now it happened, shalo ratza kohen litnos hamitzvah b'shum tzad. The kohen has zero interest in paying for this. V'gam lo latzeis, he doesn't want to leave either. V'lo od, ela shalo ratza la halachas the besa knesses acher. He says, and there's another shul in town where they don't do this, and I don't want to go there. I am sticking in this shul, and you can't stop me. So what now? What's supposed to happen at this point? So the Ma'arik, as part of his tshuva, writes, Pshita shemashakasav amordechai v'tzerach sheyi alaminog raya min haTorah. Haynu dafka heichasha aminog mevatal halacha. The Mordechai has a statement, which we're going to have to come back to, in which he says that for a minog to be binding, it has to have support from the Torah. So he says that's only if the minhag is counter to halacha. Da'alakoi, that's what he's talking about. Aval heicha shein haminhag keneged halacha ain't tzarach sheyi ala raya min haTorah. But if a minhag is not against halacha per se, it doesn't need a basis in the Torah. Ve'od, and further, he quotes you of Avigdor Cohen, Ish habayel eretz noshaves Yehudim. A man comes to a Jewish community. In tzarech laseis mas toch yud beis chodesh. Does he have to pay into whatever their local tax burden is if he's going to be there less than a year? In minhag kavua lachova eini yodei lepotros. Or Avigdor Cohen said, if that's the practice, that people who visit do have to pay in, even if they haven't been there for a year, then yeah, you're obligated. The garas ala b'Yerushalmi, where Avigdor Cohen continues to say, the Yerushalmi says, minhag mevatel halacha. V'amrinami b'gemara didan, and it's in the Bavli also. Ad uparach v'nechzi hechinog, he's quoting our Gemara, and the words I bolded. Alma minhag b'nei ha'ir doche es din chachmei Talmud, we see that the minhag of the community overrides the law of the Chachmei Talmud. Aval pi shematzlo smach min haMikra, even though you have support from the pesukim for what the Chachmei Talmud said. Akan l'shon Ravinu Avigdor kashavi Mordechai harei lecha behedya shekasav shedoche din Chachmei Talmud. Minhag is able to override the din of the Chachmei Talmud, and then he says, he says, maybe we should distinguish between what they're doing in shul for Shabbos Bereishis and Dinei Mamonos, because it's only for Mamon that Minhag will override. Why? Sharei Hefker Beis Din Hefker Hu. It's about Hefker Beis Din. And ain't called me a Beis Din Lakor Davrin HaTorah. Dot, dot, dot. He says it's Hefker Beis Din. And it's only going to apply on Hefker matters. So it'll apply to Natanel's poor car. It'll apply to the workers' hours. It isn't going to apply to the Shabbos Bereishis Minhag. The Shuas Be'er Sheva brings the same thing and the same limitation to Mamanos matters. In Source Chaf Aleph, do you see the part that I bolded? Da'asim aperek apol in my relinion mamona v'yesh kach bi'al chachamam lafkiya mamona the hefker based in hefker takes the same position. So that's one view, is that the power of minog is a product of hefker based. However, that is far from the only view. And I'm only going to get to the idea that Rabbi Yeres proposed, the idea that there's popular acclaim, everybody accepting it. I'm only going to get to that idea at number 5 out of 5. We're going to be descending in order from highest sort of view, Hefker Beis Din, down to, well, I entered this deal with you thinking that we were going to follow the local minhag, and there's a lot in between. So stage 2, if I can use that term, is that it is koach hatzibur, meaning it is not a matter of individuals in cases deciding to do something. The community automatically empowers its minhagim. The community does. He acknowledges what we're going to see as stage 3, which is that it's the leadership of the community, but that's not where he's going here. He's saying that it's actually about the community in general. He's dealing with taxes, and he says this is a necessity to have the community govern its affairs this way. The issue is, if you look at Source Chav Beis, Truma Zadeshen, he says, Sibur hutal aleihem mas ve'eskimu she'yichtivu kol echad ve'echad kol asher yeishlo ha'mechuyev b'mas ve'yish ba'akacha shelo yivriach ma'uma. The community has a tax burden they have to pay up, and they agreed that each one records what he owns that is taxable, and they have to swear that they're not hiding anything. And then they're going to submit this ledger that is everybody's assets, and the judge will arbitrate and say, okay, you give this, you give that. So the question is, where does this stand? We already have a minog. How does this work? So his tshuva, he writes, Yerod dahani mili talit feba minog mimaita talit bedas Torah. He says this is more about minog than about any specific halacha, and because it's 11:28, I'm going to cut to the chase. Take a look in his last paragraph where I bolded. He says, Mikom makom nira lomar debe inyane misim v'kiyai gavna, in taxes and the like, kulu modu dazlin and basar min hagam debnei ha'ir o bnei abedina shenagu bo mikedem. You go by whatever the popular custom is, and he continues, I didn't bold it, afilu even if this didn't come from the Chachamim, Kedemaisi Harav Aaron Cohen, Raya Aaron or Avram, not sure. Raya Barura Al Zemeh, he the Chamarim v'Sapanim. He says the Gemara in Bava Basra talks in Bava Kama talks about bringing proofs from the practices of the wagon drivers, of the sailors. He says the practices that we have are not about being enacted by sages, it's about the community. Why? What I bolded at the end. If you can tell them to go to Beis Din every time, and they have to learn what the halacha is in each case and do that, it's going to cause fights. So therefore they forgive each other. They're going to say, we don't have to follow what the Torah is licensing us or obligating us. They'll follow their own practices to avoid fights between them. We're going to come back to this idea, God willing, next time of the Trumas Hadeshen, but it's a matter of popular acclaim for Minhagim as a whole within his view. So what we accomplished is we saw 3 different views of Minhag Mevatel Halacha, 2 of which really reduced it from the broad statement that it is, Barabbeinu Yehonasan makes it a big deal, that Minhag is in fact able to override what is established as a baseline in the Torah. We came to understand Reish Lakish in two different ways. Either Reish Lakish is making a statement that the Torah gives me default hours in this pasuk in Tehillim for workers, or alternatively, Rabbi Nochananel, the idea that it's telling me that we don't follow the Torah's default hours because of the danger from animals. We're actually bringing this pasuk in order to limit what we do. And then we gave the first two views for why Minhag has authority, whether it's because there's Hefker based in for all Minhagim, or whether it's because the community empowers its Minhagim. So God willing, next week we'll continue with the community empowering and other views for how Minhag works, and talk about what kinds of Minhagim are authorized in this way, and what the limitations are. Thank you very, very much. Ephraim.